jump in, if I can get you to pull your Bibles out, we're going to actually read from your scriptures. And for those of you all who use phones that turn on, and for those of you all who use Bibles that crinkle when you turn the pages, I'm going to ask that you would please go ahead and get that set. And once you get there, I'm going to be from the New Living Translation today, if you would like to do that electronically. We're going to read quite a bit at the beginning, and then we're just going to work our way through the message. Everybody with me? Praise the Lord. Listen, I always tell you on the second service that please don't let first service outshout you. Are you with me?
Amen.
So if there we go. I can always count on you, Sister Ginger. Amen. And thank you for making sure Jenny's with us today as well. Father, we ask that you would simply move expressively, but we ask that eternity would flood this place with truths that have the ability to free us. I pray, God, that you would reach into the hearts and lives of people, but especially our mothers today, and that there might be new discoveries of revelation from your scriptures. And God, in it all, may we just have fun, and may you be the inspirer for impacting our lives forever. Do not let the people that came in or watching go away the same. It's in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Say one more time, say Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
I want to first of all share with you two mothers. Two mothers. Say that with me. Two mothers. We understand that mothers here is a noun. Mothers here is a what?
Noun.
And if we had something that we want to make sure you get when we say two mothers, it's this. We want to celebrate and honor mamas, sisters, our more mamas and midwives for our lives. So when we talk about mothers, which is a noun, mothers that are a what? We're talking about celebrating. So we want to honor mamas and sisters and our more mamas and midwives in our lives. Praise God. But some of you all that are so astute and achieved highly in the English language and but I had to actually think about this, and the God that we love and serve had to bless me to realize something today or this week, and that is that the word mother is also a verb.
Come on.
Is anybody going to be with me today? Y'all are not that deep in thinking. This is like the third slide. Come here, back. In other words, the word mother is also a verb. The word mother is also a what? So if you want to understand what this means is, I would like today, in prayer and in reality, if nobody else is shouting today, I hope mothers and mamas can shout with me today. Especially because this is an encouraging shout. An encouraging what?
Shout.
To mamas. Now, I know some of y'all have mothers, but some of us have mamas. Mamas, sisters, more mamas, and midwives, how, who mother us all comes about. Because mother is a verb. And if mother is a verb, then how many know sometimes we are mothered?
Amen.
Is everybody with me? So we want you to make sure when we put these two things together, verse, the noun and the verb, what it means is to mother as a noun, this is the definition, in simplicity, mothers are women in relation to their child or children. Read that with me. Ready, set, read. Women in relation to their child or children. We want to make sure we get this established as a basis. Mothers are women in relation to their child or children. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
We have this beautiful picture that is really of Native American mother and her beautiful child whose head is laid on her shoulder. Because how many of you know, as a mama or as a child, sometimes there could be no better place than a mama's shoulder. Somebody say amen. Looks like I got some mama people in the house. Look at this beautiful picture where this young lady is. She's got one baby next to her and she's reaching to the other. That's a mama. It says mother as a verb. I want you to get this. It's very important. Say mother as a verb.
Mother as a verb.
I didn't hear you online. Come on now. Y'all got to do something. Get on the chat. Do something. Amen. Mother as a verb. To give birth to. And to bring up a child or children with care and affection. The verb of mother has this concept of bringing up a child our children with care and what? With care and what? So to mother is to bring, to birth, and to bring up a child or children with care and affection. So when we put these together, we understand today, we want to, this is to mothers who mother. This is to mothers who mother. Can I get all the mothers, the mamas, everyone? Mothers and mamas, say that with me. To mothers who mother. To what?
Mother.
Who? Because the first one is a? And the second one is a? All right, we're going somewhere. Everybody turn their Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. You don't want to lose sight. We're going to follow the text. So wherever you need to grunt or say amen or anything like that, it would be good for you to get those in as we read through the scriptures right here. We're going to start here, as it says in verse 5. Quite a bit of reading, but I really want it to be a blessing to understand the text, because this text speaks for itself. In verse 5 it says, "In all Jacob had 70 descendants in Egypt, including Joseph, who was already there. In time, Joseph and all of his brothers died, ending that entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to the people, 'Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing. Even more, if we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country.' So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah: 'When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live.' But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. 'Why have you done this?' he demanded. 'Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women,' the midwives replied. 'They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time.' So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: 'Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live.'" And everybody said amen. Go over to chapter 2. We're still reading. It says, "About this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. And when the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find any of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl, watch this, y'all. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Isn't that good? "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told her the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, I want to see this. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." We're going to end on verse 11, the first part I want you to see. It says, "Many years later, when Moses had grown up." And everybody said, amen. You know, I don't want to inundate us with too many passages of scripture. It'll explain itself as we go through the notes. But I don't want you to miss at least one more verse, if you don't mind. How many know, anyway, that the reading of the Word of God is what changes and transforms us? We got four amens. Amen. I will say it again. The Word of God and reading it together, when Paul instructs Timothy, it's the reading of the Word that ministers to us. Amen. Praise God. So go to Acts chapter 10. I won't read the other scriptures that we could. I may say them or something like that, but I want you to see at least this one because I don't want you to miss this. In Acts chapter 10, and I want us to look at one verse, and I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. A little old school there, but it's just more potent there, I think, for me. And it is verse 38. Verse 38. Acts chapter 10, a very familiar passage, but look at what it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. What did God do? He anointed who? Of Nazareth with the what? And with power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. All who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. The Bible says, for God was what? Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, if you will, some of you all might be taking notes by clicking your camera, and some of you all might want to write some things down or type some notes with you. But I want to go further if I can. This begins what we do every year, and that is we start a series about relationships. We start a series about what? We start on Mother's Day, and we end on Father's Day. This year, there's 7 weeks, but 1 week, which is going to be May 23rd is the day of Pentecost, and we certainly even want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we're going to use these weeks to at least think about this point. Maybe not every sermon or message or talk will directly speak about why do relationships break up, but there are a couple of points we can pull out today. Are you with me? We won't stay here very long, but I want you to see this in chapter 1, what happened in this passage of scripture of why the relationship of the Israelites broke up with the Egyptians. And it's worthy of it because I want you to think about perhaps you and a neighbor have a riff. Are you hearing me? Perhaps you and another household, another cousin group, an auntie or another side of the family may not be going well right now. Or it may be you and another person at school or even somebody on your team or somebody in your department or it may be a new boss or something like that. But I want to share with you, wherever there's a broken relationship, you want to grow in the grace and the power and the knowledge of God so that you become a peacemaker in order to reconcile things so you can have good relationships and not broken ones. Amen. Glory to God. So look at these 3 points real quick about this between Israelites, because this could just be two people groups. Notice that in verse 8, when new power know nothing about you. You didn't get that. when whoever comes in new power knows nothing about you. When they don't know anything about you or what you have done. The Bible says that the new king came into power, he became king, and he knew nothing about Joseph. You see, what happens is when someone comes into new power, they don't know your good or your bad. They don't know you. And what ultimately happens, look at this, they have an absence of honor for you. Be very careful when people don't have, they have an absence of what? Of honor for you. That can begin a relationship that could be broken. Because what else happened in this passage of scripture is that when one or more parties are afraid of each other, people turn to reject and retreat rather than reach and relate. That's powerful. Let's just do the benediction. Nope, not going to do that. All I'm trying to say is, what about our relationships? What about the people on your team? What about those around you? When one or more parties, it doesn't matter if it could be a married couple, could be two family members, could be two cousins, could be anything. But when one or two partners are afraid of each other, people turn to reject and retreat rather than reach and relate. How many know that may begin to be a broken relationship? Number three, look at this. In verses 10 to 16, it gives you this knowledge. After that happened, then the threat turns against. The threat turns what? What I mean by that is, if you look at the passage, all of a sudden it became them and they. How many understand that all of a sudden we were Egyptians and we were Hebrews and we were working on all these things together? And man, Joseph, he brought in a lot of money, and all your family, oh no, they welcome. You can even have this part of the land. But when you don't know you, then all of a sudden, now wait a minute, look at it. We're against, it's them and they. Them and they, through force, oppression, and ultimately a diabolical plan of death, because they created a situation for genocide. Does everybody saw that in the scriptures? There became a plan for genocide. In other words, that only happens when I have to distance you, meaning it's them and they, and once you become them and they, then you become not even a person again. God have mercy. Be careful that we ought not do that to others, and we ought not have others do that to us. That's a good place to say amen. Praise God. But we want to be here today because this passage of scripture sets up the text for its powerful mother. This sets up a text for us to learn about mamas and about mothers and the nature and the character of them. And we certainly want to ascribe to what Brother Peter shared and Pastor Jeremy, because mothers love us and reveal the love of God to us in the way he loves us. But what we want to deal with is to mothers, this message is for mamas, and I want to make sure you saw in chapter 2, don't get quiet on me, but the very first thing the passage says is they got married. It's getting quiet up in here, amen? I need help, honey.
Amen.
Amen. You got to make sure you bring your own amen sometimes, right? Because you got to understand that they got what? Married before they got pregnant. Got quiet again. All I'm saying is that the scripture said it. I don't have to make that up, and I certainly want to be sensitive, because some of us know that we have situations, and it could even be me, that we might have got birthed out of something or a circumstance that it wasn't quite marriage. But all I'm saying is that in the scriptures, in chapter 2, they first got married and then she got pregnant. That's a good place to say amen. But here's the other part I want you to begin to hear. When we go through chapter 1, make sure you understand that this environment is very dangerous. If you have a baby, you're at a 50% possibility that this baby's going to be put to death. I need to begin to get the mamas to shout with me. I don't know if you got heels on or not, but listen, mamas are courageous. The one thing we know about mamas is in this here mama, she said, you know what, that might be the decree, but me and you, we still gonna have a baby. And it takes for some of us, even yet today, no matter what the world is like, because I have some people tell us, I'm not gonna bring a baby into this world. But when you know you've got this craving, this deep understanding inside of you that God has put something in me to bring forth life, because it might be dark in the world, but what's inside of me is going to bring forth what is light, because the Bible says he desires a righteous seed in the earth, and if he can't get it from those that believe, then where is he going to get that which is good to come into that which is bad and take over what's sad in order to turn it back to what is glad? It's meant to be God's people that are courageous, and it takes a mama to do that. Do you understand when he got ready to save the world? Jesus did not come in the world another way, but he chose the womb of a woman to come in the only ordained way. He had to have a passport in order to be here legally. So he came through a mother in order to be here. He didn't come like the devil and fall out of the sky. He came through the womb of a mother. Glory to Jesus. Because mothers and mamas are courageous. Yeah, Jenny. Mamas are courageous because she gave birth. She gave what? I want you to hear this one. The Bible says she saw the baby and she thought he was special. Thought he was what? Yeah, special. How many of you know? Wait, listen. How many of you know? No matter what you look like, no matter what they call you, no matter how much fun they pick at you, it doesn't matter what they think about you, you know your mama think you special. Yeah, she said she looked at the baby and he was special. I know y'all don't want to miss this little story I told, but you know, I'm an only child, and I have a cousin who's 5 years older than me, and he's like my big brother, you know, but here's what he told me, you know. He said, y'all heard this before. He said, hey, Taran, you know, people that were good-looking babies, they don't turn out to be good-looking people. And then he said, but people that were not good-looking babies, they turn out to be really good-looking people. He said, Taran, you was a pretty baby.
I mean,
no. He might have said that about me, but my mama thought I was special. My mama said, oh, honey, you still good looking. My nose might be a little crooked, but mama didn't care. She thought it was still special. I might scratch my legs up, but mama still think I'm special. Why? Because mamas look at their babies, and you can count on them being what? Special. How you going to have a 315-pound man come off the field tackling four people and say, hi, mama? Are you... Because no matter who you are, mama thinks you're special. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. But then the Bible says she kept him. Now, this is interesting, right? She kept him hidden. And this baffled me, because how do you keep a baby from crying for 3 months? You say you nurse it all the time. But there's something even more practical, is that she could hide him because it wasn't the crying. She just had to keep them from knowing he was a boy or a male. So she was very careful. Because when you keep your child, you keep your child safe. How many know mamas know how to keep the babies what?
Safe.
Mamas, they say, you know, got eyes in the back of their head. You say, mom's got like extra ears. Are you with me? And I was chewing gum one time. I don't know, I was in grade school or something. I was chewing gum one time in the bed. You know that was a no-no, right? I was chewing like this. From the other bedroom, my mama said, take that gum out your mouth, boy. I was like, my God, I thought this woman was bionic. Mamas, they know what's going on. Are you with me? My God, come on, Mason, are you with me, right? Listen, but I want you to get this, because I've got to really teach this thing. Listen. She knew the dastardly of what was going on in Egypt, so she had the strength. Who am I talking to? Who am I looking at? Listen, she had strength to bring the baby, Tanisha, but she didn't have the support in the community to keep him. That's powerful. She had the ability to, the strength to birth a baby, And because she had limited resources and the dangers in life, and because she had a little shortage on resources, she had the strength to birth the baby, but not the support to keep the baby. The system. Somebody say amen. That's why, I don't know, but we just can't be about me and mine. But it's got about us. It's got to be about the household. It's got to be about the neighbors. It's got to be about Bobo and Johnny and them and Melanie and them. Because it can't just be me and mine. Mine is fine. But what about Simeon? And what about, you know, Sasha? And, you know, she didn't have any track shoes. And but all I'm saying is that some people had the strength to have them, but they may not have the support to keep them. Hallelujah. All I want to say is that I'm trying to bring you up to this situation of impossibilities, where there's impossibilities, where there are what? Come on, I need you to remember that word. There are people in situations and mamas that are in impossibilities. And the reason this is so important, because I want to bring out the highlight of this passage of scripture in this point, never seen this before, is that in order for her to have this baby, she was full of faith. She was full of faith. She was full of what? Because when she realized, I can't keep him, he's 3 months old now, and he's in danger. We know that faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. In other words, hope. She had full of hope. Mamas have to be full of hope. And we can see that she had full of hope, because here she is. She first of all had the baby. Then she kept the baby. But now, she's got to do something different. I want to propose to you that what she does next is by the word of God. Listen, I want you to understand. The Bible says she took a basket and she made it waterproof. This is very important. There's something about this concept that you have to understand about a basket. About a what? She's going to put the baby in a what? So her plan is based out of hope. But it's based out of a hope that's going to release her faith. And I don't know if you notice or not, but in order to have faith, you have to do it by a word. Everybody with me? So where is she getting this concept? Now, I propose to you, and this could be conjecture, but there is one valid proof I like to share with you. That the Bible's Hebrew word for basket is only found twice in the Bible. The other time is Noah's Ark. The only other time that we see this word being used is for Noah's Ark, when he saved the world through water in order to bring forth life to the rest of us. And now this mama has a hope by a word of the Torah that, wait a minute, maybe God will do this too. Because you've got to be a mama that's full of hope against all odds to do something that's unthinkable, that God, and get this, even if she didn't intentionally, what she didn't mean, God still meant it. God took that basket and said, look, I saved Noah that I can save your boy, because he's special. You didn't hear what I'm saying. Some of us got to believe that our child, our children are still in his care, and now God is able to do with them more than what you've been able to do with them. How do you know that? Are you ready? I got to get this set up. The Bible says, now this is very important. Look at this. She released him. She what? I know I'm talking to some mothers right now for sure. Maybe you'll be watching later on YouTube. You see, sometimes the hardest thing for mamas to do is to release their baby. It's hard. I didn't raise this boy. I didn't put my whole life. I didn't sacrifice. I didn't try to not date. I'm working two jobs. I'm coming home and my feet hurt and I'm cramping up and I put everything I could into this baby and now God, you're telling me that I thought I was going to, my hope was in him, but I didn't see that you was going to have me release him. You see, this is a contradictory because in order for him to live, you had to let him go. Oh, Lord have mercy. Listen, mamas, I know you birthed them. I know you carried them. I know you nursed them. I know you sent them to school. I know they graduated and went on. But at some point, you've got to believe that God is going to do something with them more than what you could do with them on your own. And therefore, she released him. Somebody say amen. Now here's the treachy point. Are y'all ready for the treachy? That was not. I didn't believe this when I first found this out until I studied it. She put them where? In the what? She put them where? When you study the Nile in the ancient Nile River, guess what? It had piranhas in it. Listen to me. Mamas, can I get y'all to talk with me, shout with me, do something with me? She put her baby in a basket with piranhas. Can y'all see this at all? You got piranhas swarming around your baby in a basket. You thought you put the baby in there for safety. But you got a what? And some of y'all looking at it like, that's not a piranha. Will you please work with me? My God. This is Walmart for a dollar. My God. Some of y'all are so deep. You know what I'm saying? Jesus. The Bible says, the history shows this, that this Nile River had cobras in it. Venomous vipers and snakes in it. And you put your baby in it. Now come on. You think Tegan is going to go in a Nile? Do you think baby Luke is going to go in a... You think... No, wait a minute. But here's the best of them. Listen. In the Nile River... in the Nile River, listen. Historically, it's known they are called the Nile Crocodile. The Nile Crocodile. Meaning the Nile crocodile was known to be in Africa, to be one of the largest African crocodiles. So I want you to think this through. You have your baby who you think is special, who you cannot keep, and God gives you a word to release him into the Nile, where piranhas are, where snakes are, where crocodiles are. Now, Jenny, thank you, Ginger. Some of y'all are thinking, oh, that's a really nice history lesson. No, wait a minute. That's like the world today. There's all kinds of things that we are letting our releasing our babies into, and piranhas with teeth snapping at our children with drugs and all kind of venomous vipers and religion and telling you got to do this right and be that right and you're no good and you'll never be any good and you've got crocodiles that want to snap your limbs off and steal from you and take from you where your baby would come up lost. It doesn't matter anymore if you're in the suburb. But how many understand you got to be courageous? Because she still released him. She still what? Come on, let's give God a praise offering for this courageous mama right now. I want to hit this next section. Listen, this message is also for who mother, because mother is a verb. Mother is a what?
Verb.
And I would like to introduce this thought that I have reason to believe there are some sisters that have mothered our lives. There are some what? That have what? That have mothered our lives. Look at the notes. In other words, you got to catch the scripture. The Bible says when the mother released her, the sister, the what? She was looking through the reeds. She was keeping an eye on him. She was watching him. Because how many know the note says it this way? Sisters stay, they go, they say, and they show a mother, us, where mamas cannot go. What do I mean? How many of you know that we got some big sisters and some little sisters that tell all our stuff? Right? I'm telling mama. Right? I'm telling on you. Why? Because sometimes they are being used to get us out of some stuff. Some of us got some big sisters and some little sisters. But I want to also talk about there are some sisters even among us. And even though they have not had babies themselves, like Sister Dr. Connie and Sister Sonia and people that want to have children or maybe want to live like that, but thanks be to God for our sisters because they poured into us and our children. If it wasn't for our good Aunt Vanessa, some of us wouldn't have rent paid. Some of us wouldn't have a job if Sister Aunt hadn't came in and blessed our lives. All of us ought to be able to say, there has been some sisters that have mothered us. Glory to God. I always like to tell the story that, you see, Aunt Anna's sister bought for Luke when he was growing up. He's, you know, super into sports. Bought him Sports Illustrated, a monthly edition. But his mama and his sister, his mama and his what? You see, I know it's called Sports Illustrated, but it almost feels like it's Soft Porn Illustrated. I can't get any help up in here. And as a direct result of that, mama and sister would take the Sports Illustrated first, go through every page and fold it or tear it out and finish it all up before they would give it to him because all he wanted was the sports. All I'm saying is that thanks be to God that sisters are sometimes watching over us and they go places like, don't date her, she's no good. You see, sisters go where mamas can't go because you don't tell mama everything, but your sister know. Thanks be to God. Everybody said amen. Amen. All I want to know is I named a few already and those that's in here, but sisters go to jails and hospitals and make you meals so you can stop making ramen noodles. And I mean, they do things for us. And I don't know about you. I already told you I'm an only child, but thanks be to God. I grew up with this one girl, Jean's sister Paula. And she was tough. I mean, she was a tough girl. Not that I grew up in a tough neighborhood or nothing, but she was tough. And she was older than us. But if Paula was going, I was going. You know what I'm saying? I was a little squirt, you know. Hey, y'all, Paula, I'm with her. because how many know we need sisters to watch out for us? Somebody say amen. Amen. Then I want to talk about this next group of people because their mothers are what I want to call more mamas. It's who? It's who? When you talk about more mamas, we're talking about we often need more mamas for our destiny. Here's another part about releasing him. Because when she released him, look what happened. The princess represents all the wonderful women who mothered us or are still mothering us. In other words, look, this is very important. Look, just look at the next point. The sister brings mama. In other words, the sister was watching until the basket gets down here where the princess picks him up, and then she pops out like, you want me to go get one of the Hebrew women? And she goes and gets their mama. When she comes back, the mama comes back, you have to understand, look at this note, this is important, I'm going fast. Sister brings the mama because the mama had the ability to provide milk for him, but she didn't have the methods to get him into his destiny. Did you hear what I'm saying? You see, his call was so high that you needed royalty. You needed to know how to be a socialite. You needed to have how to get into the court of the king and to discuss things. You needed to understand an education. At that historical time, Egypt had the greatest education. So he has the opportunity to be at this high seat even though he knows he's a Hebrew. How do you know that? Because he was raised and nursed by his mom. Look at what it says. In other words, she had the ability to nourish with his history. Hey, these are my people. This is who you come from. But she also was able to tell them about their God, about who God Jehovah is. In other words, he was to know who he was, and he was able to know who God is. And when you know who God is and who you are on your way. Somebody say amen. But look at this. Look at this. But when she brings him back after she weaned him, she released him again because she knew I could only bring him so far, but now another mama is going to have to take him the rest of the way. Because we know this scripturally. Scripturally, the Bible says, and it is in the Hebrew as well, the Bible says she took him as her own child, and the Bible says, and she adopted him. You see, we're talking about adopting mothers. We're talking about mothers that you know what are in the community. And if you don't get this, I told you I'll cry every now and then. This message is for Miss Irby. This is a Miss Irby message. You say, who is Miss Irby? It's all right. It's whoever your Miss Irby is. You see my Miss Irby? You see that mother over there? She worked till 6 o'clock at night. You see, she couldn't make every game, but Miss Irby was in the stands. And afterwards, she always would have a snack for us. And we would ride in her car, and we would fall asleep because we'd been up all day, but we would ride softly back to our houses because Miss Irby was there. You see, mom was working, doing everything she could to make sure we had what we needed. But another mama was able to make sure she was at every game because you can't be raised just by one mama. At least maybe you could, but I needed multiple mamas. And therefore, because I had multiple mamas, I was able to make it through when one mama wasn't able to get to everything. We ought to give a praise offering for others that are mama and other people. Give the Lord a glory. You say, why does it make a big difference? You see, the reason I cry is because you see, Miss Kelly Lewis is Miss Irby for us. You see, Luke has spent far more years and time and eating they tacos all up. We might as well send them our bill, you know. I mean, because he may not be at our house, and we may not even know where he is, but he was over the Lewis's house. I can't get any help. In other words, because that was Miss Irby to me. And now today, you need to make sure you're not the only one whose hands and heart is touching your child. Somebody say amen. Amen. But here's how we have a great revelation in Scripture. The mama, you'll find, write it down, Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, gives you the name of Moses' mom. And her name is, this is a J, but you pronounce it with a Y, Jochebed. Jochebed. Say that with me. Jochebed. You know she was a mature mom. You know she was a mom that's full of hope and full of faith. You know she was a courageous mom. Can you tell you why? Because she brings her back. She doesn't have to worry about being insecure. She don't have to worry about, well, you know, that's really my child. No, she didn't do any of that. Because when you live for Jesus, you want to let your light shine before men that they might see your good works. Watch this. And glorify your Father in heaven. Her name meant Jehovah is glory. I had an opportunity to nurse him and nourish him, but I'm letting him go because he's a special child. And God, you're going to do something with this special child. And just like your child and your special child, you're going to be able to release them and not feel insecure like you didn't do enough. You'll be able to know that whoever becomes another mama will bless your child as well, and they will be able to fulfill the purposes of God in their lives. Glory to Jesus. My God. Jehovah is glory. Look at what it says here. She adopted him, and the Bible says Moses, meaning Moses is really a wordplay. But no matter what, we do know he was drawn out. Get this. That mama was able to lift him up out of the water. That mama was able to draw him. But his name also means in Hebrew, rescuer and deliverer. So he had a call on his life. Therefore, we need to make sure that God is fulfilling the call in our children's lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. Might be getting tired. Let me hurry. Get that music ready. Listen, we got two more. Look at this. Who mother? Mother is a verb, and we want to talk about midwives. We want to talk about what?
Midwives
is in chapter 1, so why we want to jump back there is because of this. Look, very important. I'm talking about us. The entailed bearing children, which is in turn dependent on the work of midwives. This is very important. Don't forget, to birth a child is to mother. Are you with me? And a midwife is used to assist in birthing a child. So we want to honor midwives. And we need to be midwives. We need to be what?
Midwives.
Let me show you why. Because the definition means to birth to. A mother means to birth to, cared with affection. Means to birth with cared and what?
Affection.
Their lives. Why? Watch this. The Bible says twice because they feared God. Which means in Hebrew, they revered God in a covenant relationship with him. In other words, they, the midwives, had a covenant relationship to believe God was who he said he was. So as a result, they rather fear God than fear man. They rather fear God than fear government. They rather fear God and obey God than anything else in the world. Why? Because if I obey God, God is going to come through for me. If I obey and believe God, God is going to come through for me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, look at this. So they did that. God is good. And to the office of a midwifery who mother, assisting life, miracles and deliverances, prayers and promises into the earth. This is why we all want to be midwives. Because midwives, watch this, it doesn't matter if I have a child or not. It doesn't matter if I got the prayer answered or not. It doesn't matter if I got what I was promised or not. But if I can learn how to be a midwife, if I can learn how to help somebody else get their blessing, if I can teach somebody else how to birth into the earth what God wants to get in, if I can learn how to come up next to you and show you how and get with you and assist you in order to birth what's inside of you, look what happens, you all. God gave them families their own. The Bible says because God love them or watch them, they got families on their own. You see, it's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do. And when we see what God can do, I'd rather do what God is asking me to than to do it on my own. I'd rather do what, come on, don't lose me here. I'd rather do what God is asking me to than me to do it on my own. Is anybody with me? This is why we know it, y'all. Shiphra, watch this. And Pua, their names mean beautiful and blossom. Beautiful and blossom. Here these midwives, they were beautiful and they blossomed. How many of you know if the rose or any other flower is tucked in, it's beautiful, but it hadn't blossomed yet. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, everything is beautiful in its time. You see, you might just be at this state. You might even be at this state. But if you're a midwife, God's going to cause you to be beautiful and blossom when you've helped others because God is going to give you your own. If we learn how to help others in their miracles, learn how to help others in their promises, learn how to help others in their families, then one day God is going to show up at your doorstep and it won't be a stork. It'll be a savior and he will bring to pass what he promised you. Give the Lord a shout. You don't want to miss this. I got about 5 minutes to share it. Listen. Everybody say mothering.
Mothering.
Come on, everybody say mothering.
Mothering.
There were two ladies that got together this past week. They really didn't know each other, but they got to talking. And how many of you know the one subject that two mamas will always talk about when they get together? Come on, Dan. When two mamas get together, they're going to talk about their
children.
And as they began to talk about their children, guess what? They began to talk about their children, and the next thing you know, one of them said to the other, yeah, that's like mommy ain't. And then they caught themselves and they said, oh, I guess that's not a word. And the other one looked at the other one and said, I know what you mean. How many of you know because mamas, they know what mommy ain't means. You see, mommy ain't means
You mommy them when they're 9 months, and you mommy them when they're 9 years old. I don't know about you, but this one over in this section, somebody over in this section, they still doing a lot of mommying, and I'm 55. I can't get any help up in here. I think some of y'all might like this story, but just to throw it in for fun is, I like to call myself the only child in the nation that has ever been suspended from school by his own mama. You see, I am not going to go into what I was doing, but I wasn't acting right. I mean, you know, I wasn't always saved, amen. And I was in sixth grade middle school, and I got caught in some things that wasn't right, and they marched me off to the office. And you see, my uncle was the principal. He was cool. He was the principal, and I'm sitting in his office, and he like, Teran, your mama going to kill you, boy. Right? He's like, your mama going to kill you, boy. I was like, I know. And they called my mama at work. That purse came in there. All I can see is steps in a pocketbook. They kicked me out the office. She talked to my uncle. They called me back in. And they said I was suspended. He wasn't going to suspend me. He said, no, you're going to suspend this boy. But that's okay. Then she took me to my grandmother where I got more love. All I'm trying to let you know is that a mother can be tough and love at the same time. You don't have to beat them down. You'll have to learn how to pick them up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What I want you to see is mamas know their children. Next, mamas know they may not have in them everything it takes to bring their children into God created them or to become. That's a good place to say amen. As a mama, you've got to know, I don't have everything it takes. I know you're trying and you're doing really well, but you may not have everything to get them into their divine destiny. Somebody say amen. Number three, there is a purpose or protection for a child when a young to believe their parents is flawless. We need to be provided for, cared for by love, and they do not know anything short of us. How many understand when your children are 6 and 7, they think you are perfect? They know nothing else, and God ordained that, and that was purposeful. But I want you to hear this. This is a very important point. Why do relationships break up? Why do relationships what? I want to thank God for Sister Anna sharing this message with me, this part right here. It says this. You see, a message was like this. When we start talking about honoring our mothers, when we talk about honoring our what? I believe there could be people online and it could be people in this room sitting in the chair you're next to or in, and you could be thinking, no, because I've been told this literally this week. No, I don't even have a mother. She was never a mother to me. In last service, we had someone literally holding their fists together because I saw tears wailing up in their eyes. I know their story. You see, we've got situations that mothers may not have been the best, and Pastor Jeremy's right, and we've got people that want to be mothers, but our body says we can't be mothers, and we've got other people that in this year alone have seen their mother transition to go be with the Lord, and they're still dealing with the grief of that. All I'm trying to make you to understand is this, though. This is huge. When we say honoring mothers, this is important. If you cannot honor your mother because of her imperfection, you will not be able to ever receive honor yourself. That's a powerful word. You see, if you cannot honor your mother who is in imperfection, then you're ultimately saying, I can never receive honor myself. So as a direct result, look at this message. A healthy adult son, daughter, and parent relationship occurs when both parent and child can maturely accept each other's imperfections. That's a powerful word. Listen, this is for all of us. This is what we must learn and live to honor our father and mother in the Lord. And we pray and receive grace to learn and live like this with all people in relationships. In other words, we want to learn from mom and dad how to live in imperfections, because I've got to live with Brandon and Courtney. I've got to be able to live with Dan and Josh. And they've got to be able to live with me. You see, we've got to learn how to live with each other's what? Get ready to stand up to your feet. Listen to this. This is how the message ends. You got to catch this. The ultimate question today was, well, how do mothers mother? How do the mothers mother? You shared all the difficulties. You shared the piranhas. You've shared the crocodiles. You've shared I've got to release them. You've shared that, you know what? I've got to even let other mamas mama my child. But how will I ever be able to do what seems to be impossible when I know that I'm walking around in imperfections? Get ready. Look at this. Major revelation. Here is a recently shouting discovery. Often God asks us to do more or to do something that is impossible for us to do, right? However, God follows it up with this one statement: I will be with you. That's powerful. Yes, Michael. Come on, Masons. Listen, God asks you to do some impossible things. Change the job and give up the job that your dad started, and go ahead and move into a smaller place and downsize and don't live in Des Moines anymore, and you can bring the children into the world and send them off to college and do all of these things and homeschool the children, though we had never seen it before. God may ask you to do impossible things, but he follows it up with this one statement many times in the Bible: I will be with you. Give the Lord a glory. Stand to your feet. Do Refiner if you can. Listen, how do we know this, you all? This is not without scripture. Moses is now at the burning bush. He's ran away from Egypt. He's a murderer. All of Egypt know he's did it. Those that's in authority know. The Hebrews know. He's in a bad spot. And God tells him, I want you to go back now and deliver my people. That sounds like an impossibility. Sounds like a what? You brought that baby into the world on a limited income. Sounds like an impossibility. Sounds like me and mama can't stay together anymore. That sounds like an impossibility. I don't feel like I'm loved. Sounds like an impossibility. I've got more debts than I've got income. Sounds like an impossibility. Sounds like I can't even get this accomplished. Look what happened to Moses. But Moses protested to God. This is what we say: God, but who am I to appear before Pharaoh? And who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Stop. Don't look. Listen. Isn't that what we ask God? God says to you, do this. And you say, God, wait a minute. Who am I? God, slow up. No, for real, God. I can't do that. Watch God's answer. This is what God said. God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. God act like he ignored. When we ask God, God, who am I? Let me tell you a shout right here. It doesn't matter who you are. God did not even answer Moses. It was like he didn't even hear it. It's not like he even knows or cares about you asking, well, who am I? He don't matter about that. What matters is, who is God? God said, I will be with you. And with God, all things are made possible. Give the Lord a big glory. I get everyone to at least open up your heart? Am I on? Can I get you to open up your heart right now? And every eye closed and every heart open. I want to ask these four questions. First of all, come is a verb. Come to Christ is a verb. If you're here, one of the things that I believe God had me to pray about is, and I don't know if it's online, and I don't know if it's in this room, but you have no reason to be embarrassed about this, is if you have been dealing with police, if you are in this room, child or parent, and you've been dealing with police or even scared that the police are just going to come and knock at the door and you're in jeopardy of a circumstance legally or just being accused of something, I know you could be here or could be online, but if that's you, this is a very specific prayer, and I want to ask that you would respond when it comes time, not to be embarrassed, but you're just going to lift up both your hands when the time comes. Or you're here, listen at this, mamas. Today was for you to be celebrated and to be honored. But if the truth be told, you might feel like you are worried and weary. Worried and weary. When the time comes, I'm going to ask that you would just lift up your left hand when the time comes. The last two are this. The two major points was you feel like, I don't know what to do with imperfections. I don't know what to do with the imperfections of my mom. And I don't know what to do with the imperfections of myself. But they're getting in the way of my relationships. They're breaking things down in my life. And Jesus, I need you to rescue me. Moses meant rescuer. Moses meant deliverer. And I need my relationships to be better. But if you're here and you have a gigantic call on your life where it seems impossible, I want you to elevate your hand when the time comes. We're just going to pray for all of those for the sake of time. And if you're online, you lift up both hands, left hand, right hand, whoever you are. Father, we ask that you would draw all people, mamas and sisters and midwives, mo mamas, and those that are sons of them. I ask God that you would do so right now by the power of God. On the count of three, for everyone that would lift up both hands, one left hand, one right hand, whoever you are, on the count of three, one, every eye closed, every heart open, two, get ready to lift. Three, please lift up your hand in Jesus' name. That speaks of you. Thank you, man of God. Thank you, man of God. Thank you, sister. Just keep your hands up all over the room. God's doing something special in this place. Father, it's your anointing, your word. Look at that, y'all. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, and that's our prayer today. And we're believing, we're leaning into this, God. We're receiving from heaven right now. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth right now in this room and where people drive and in bedrooms, God. A young lady came after first service and said, the prayer last week delivered me and my life has changed now. And so right now, you're a faithful Father. You're a giving God. You're Jesus. You're Jehovah Jireh. You are the God who is the one to come, came, and now calls mamas, sons, daughters, with hands up all over this place, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and he went around doing good, for he healed all who was oppressed by the devil because God was with him. And so as you were with Jesus, so likewise be with us with new courage, with new freedoms to live in the rescuing deliverance that frees us and never gets us to go back to bondage again, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
amen, amen, and amen. Come on and give the Lord a big praise offering. Father, into your hands we commit your people, this service, and me, your servant and son. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We're dismissed.